Good evening, and thank you for coming to the Tyrod Taylor Appreciation Show with your host, Gavin Miller. Tonight I'm joined by two of my esteemed colleagues. Andrew, let's hear a bit about you.
Hello, thanks for joining us, everyone. The Tyrod Taylor Appreciation Society. I'm not sure I want that label. I don't know about you, Steve.
Being the hipster Browns fan for this season, yeah, I'm all about the tie rod. I'm okay with that.
So I don't think we could have started the podcast any better if we tried. So I think
it's like you've peaked at 50 seconds.
shall we just stop now? Shall we just publish it now? At least 50 seconds have been the best 50.
Editing will be nice and easy as well.
Yeah. Thank you for listening. Tune in again for episode 4.
We may record it next week at this rate if it's going to be this short.
On a serious note, thank you for coming back to the American Football Cast. We will be delighted to let you know that today we will be talking about a whole host of things American football. So I'm just going to dive straight into it. No more messing about. So obviously in the last few days there's been a pretty big trade that happened. So let's talk about Brandon Cooks going from the New England Patriots to the LA Rams. And boy, oh boy, are the Rams stacked. Guys, does anyone want to kick us off on this one?
Yeah, and I'll be honest enough to say that when this broke, I flung straight into the chat to you guys, really, worth a first? What are you on about? No, and just totally slating them. But actually, when I looked into it a bit more, Cooks has done far better than I give him credit for. I don't have him in the top tier of the wide receivers, but he's probably firmly established in that second tier of people. Say, you know, Allen Robinson would probably want to put himself there. Dez has fallen off. He's probably not there anymore. He's not in that top bracket, you know, Julio and whatnot yet. But could he be with the Rams? Possibly. They've got McVay, obviously, who can do wonders with an offense. And albeit Sammy Watkins didn't do well, he maybe did though better than actually some people thought, because he got like 8 touchdowns in 34 receptions or something. So he did.
Yeah, okay. just pulled up the Sammy Watkins stats. So Sammy Watkins last year finished on 593 yards and 8 touchdowns. So well remembered, Steve, and he had an average 15.2 yards per play.
Do you know what? That's not crap, really.
Well, that's a first down every time he gets the ball, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I think Cooks is going to do better than that, which gives him a really decent season. You've still got Gurley absolutely wrecking, Cooper Kupp, and who else? I'm missing somebody in the wide core over there that they got from Buffalo. Robert Woods, that's it. He's your third piece as well. So, do you know what? Yeah, actually, he'll probably do okay.
Yeah, I think he'll do all right. He's one of these guys who, as someone relatively new to the game, I'm aware of, but he's not like an Antonio Brown, who I know who he is and know what he does every week. But he's obviously good enough that I'm aware of him. I mean, so yeah, I think he'll do all right on what looks like a very good team on both sides of the ball. And I would have to say early favourites going into next year.
Yep, I think that it's hard to disagree with that. So just to put another stats that I got up. So I mentioned that Sammy Watkins finished last year on 15.5 yards, I think I said, per play. Sammy Watkins finished on 15.2 yards per play last year. Brandon Cooks last year finished on 16.6 yards per play. Bearing in mind that the Rams had the most explosive offense and had the number one offense overall, so I think that if Cooks is finishing with a higher average yards per play, I think moving him into that offense is just going to help take them to the next level. And I do think that overall he's a better prospect and a better player than Sammy Watkins, and he doesn't have the injury history, which I'm surprised Andrew never picked up on. being a resident doctor.
I hadn't seeked his medical record yet.
Yeah. So I'm just waiting on that one to come out. So, okay, so let's go for this thing, guys. So Sammy Watkins finished last year on 8 touchdowns in total. Does Brandon Cooks have higher or lower?
Higher, just. But actually, I still think that Watkins will do slightly better this year than he did last year.
He'll finish with 8.
Bang. On the line. Just keep it exactly the same.
I will go for the option that you didn't give.
Of course you did. Of course you did. Okay, so I'm also on the same camp as Steve. I think he finishes on maybe 9 or 10. And one other thing that I really like from this, I actually like the upside that this brings to Cooper Kupp, who I think was really good last year. He'll be a second-year receiver, obviously. Or third year now, is he? Third, I can't remember. But either way, I think Cooper Kupp has a big upgrade in terms of his performance with Cook as opposed to Watkins. Okay, so would we say we're all in agreement that this is a good move for the Rams?
Yeah, the only thing I could probably chip on there, I think it does more damage to the Patriots than the benefit it gives the Rams.
Okay, so just elaborate just a little bit on that, Steve. Why?
Well, I mean, they're massively depleted as it is. And because, I didn't give him that much credit, but when you look into what he did do last year with the Patriots and how depleted they are, plus Edelman going... Was Edelman that went? No. Amendola that went,
Amendola,
sorry.
Yeah.
You know, they probably could have done with keeping him, but I totally get it. It's a total Belichick move. You know, he can't... They're having difficulty re-upping his contract, I think, was part of the problem anyway.
Yep.
So just get rid... You know, if you can get the value back that you got for him, basically take him on a one-year rental, which is kind of what they did. They flipped him again.
Yeah, I think... just on the Patriots side, I think they could be, and you know what, they do always find a way, but as you mentioned, so they lost Danny Amendola, Julian Edelman is coming back off a serious injury, Gronk has got major injury concerns, and there's talk of him not even coming back at all. There's still all
there's
these rumours about...
There's also talk of, if Gronk does come back, rumours of them trading him.
I don't know if that had happened, but...
I'd seen it. I think that's fizzled out again, though, particularly post Brandon Cooks now, because I think they can't afford to lose the two of them. But up until he was traded, there was a couple of rumours that he could have been on the chopping block.
Yeah, so, I mean, and also let's not forget they lost Deion Lewis to the Titans, who was a pass catching running back. So, in terms of weapons, you know, the Patriots, they need to do some things pretty sharpish, and I know. You know, they've got that extra first-round pick now, which you would imagine they would have to take a wide receiver with one of the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was the other day in the group chat I just mentioned about some of the wide receivers we've had in the last couple of years drafted in the first round. It tends to be your guys later on in the draft that are more value and better output. One that just always...
Again? You got them there. I thought I can get them up.
If you get out of the group chat, but one that I remember is Breshad Perriman from the Ravens. I don't think he could have been any worse if he tried. Whether that's Joe Flacco's fault or not is maybe a different question. But Breshad Perriman definitely, definitely sucked. I can't remember the rest out of the group chat.
I got them. So a couple of years ago you had Treadwell at the Vikings. Obviously has done horrific. Corey Coleman, he got injured. I've not given up on him yet, but he hasn't done splendid. Josh Doctson, I'm right thinking he's not done all that great for your skins either, Gav, is he?
He started to flash a little bit last year, but he's got a lot of injury concerns.
And then last year you had Mike Williams, Corey
to the Chargers.
Corey Davis to Titans, was it?
Yeah, that's right.
And John Ross to the Bengals.
Yep.
He was the demon. He was a speeder, wasn't he? Did he break the combine record?
Yeah, that's right. He did the.
But what did he do last year?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
but so, you're right, actually. Yeah, I mean, there's always been the a bit of an unwritten rule, and so to speak, that it's very rare that a wide receiver comes out of college and hits the ground running. The success rate on that draft wise isn't great, but that's because a lot of them don't run schemes that are good enough, and a lot of the wideys usually take inverted commas a year, sometimes two, to actually learn and hone their craft. So,
I mean, the best receiver in the league was a 6th round pick.
Well, yeah. Hey, some people will argue the best quarterback in the league was also a 6th round pick. Hey, Donnie.
They would, but they'd be wrong.
Hashtag goat.
But yeah, so to get back to the point, what the frig are the Patriots doing? If anyone has any answers to this, we'd love to hear it on Twitter, because we've not got a clue.
No.
Chris Hogan is currently their number one receiver. Let that sink in, guys. Chris Hogan.
My thought is that they now have 2 first-round picks. There is rumours of a big name wide receiver being traded from a team not far away from them. Do they use those extra picks to go and try and get OBJ?
Did you just steal my segue?
Hey, mate.
Can I actually feel violated?
See, this hosting malarkey is more difficult than you think, eh?
I cannot believe that you just stole my segue. I'm really close to putting an injunction in against you.
Filed at the commissioner's office.
Yeah,
it was a good segue, though. It wasn't as blunt as the one last week.
I'm at an absolute loss for words. I feel like I might just start talking about Tyrod Taylor now, just out of spite.
Oh, your best bell.
But yeah, okay. So I've got over it, only just. But so as Andrew absolutely ripped from my soul, my segue. Do the Patriots make a run on Odell Beckham, who we all know is having his troubles in New York? So the rumor is that the Giants are expecting at least a first and a third, I think is what I read. But they're going to, I'm not sure if it's first and a third or 2 first rounds. But they're looking
for a first and a third is what I'd seen.
Do we think that the Patriots could make that move? Don't all rush in at once.
Well, after I segued with posing that question, I'm going to say no.
Just no, end of. I'm kind of with you on that, Andrew, to be honest. I think the problem doesn't come with the draft capital. The Patriots have that. Belichick, though, is notoriously... he guards his draft picks like they are each worth $1 million apiece to him. He will. I don't think he would give up a first and a third for even for Odell Beckham. I think that's too much in his book. It would probably actually have to be more than a first and a third. I think that was kind of the... It would have to be at least, and it was only analysts that were saying that. I don't think it was actually anybody in the Giants organization that had come out. I think they would be looking for a first and a second minimal, but they probably would try and squeeze 2 first-rounders out of somebody for him, which is it too steep? I don't know. It's, he's really good, let's be honest, but the problem comes, and this is where it definitely doesn't work with the Patriots, whoever can trade for him has to re-up his contract and pay him quarterback money. I don't think the Patriots have enough to do that. They have too many other holes in their roster, I would say, and I don't think it would be a wise move.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think you've definitely nailed it. Their cap is obviously an issue for a lot of teams, obviously. So I think that's probably more the stumbling block rather than... Because, in my eyes, I think he is worth 2 first-round picks. He is that good a wide receiver. I think on his game, there's nobody better than him at that position. He's explosive. He can win contested catches. He can do things that, people haven't seen before, just with some of his one-handed catches. Just, absolutely absurd stuff. So I think he is worth the value, but it is just, can anyone pull the package together to make it work, and I think that's what stops Odell being moved to anyone, unfortunately. And I know that's not that exciting, but yeah, I don't know. Was anybody?
I mean, I was the whole of the last couple of weeks. I was just like checking everything every day, and I was almost praying for the superstar move to the Rams. I was thinking, see if they pull that off as well. It was obviously before the Cooks one, but see if they just signed Sue, and obviously that was like that defense had been like, holy moly, here we go. And I thought, God, see if they manage to land him as well. That would just be absolutely insane. As a 1 year, just it would be like winning every off season I have ever seen in the last 11 years. I mean, they possibly have done that. If I sit and reflect on what they've done to try and build this team for this year to go for it, but if they had taken Beckham as well, it'd be like, mic drop, game over.
Yeah, I know.
They've had an incredible off season. They're all set to miss out on the playoffs now.
Stranger things have happened. It happens every year. What is it? There's 12 teams at the playoffs, and generally, is it four new teams every season who weren't there from before or in? You know, only two thirds of them tend to be able to go back to back in playoffs, and you might drop out and you come back. There's always somebody turning around, and there's going to be a team, and it's definitely going to be in the NFC side, like whether it's the Vikings, whether it's the Eagles, possibly unlikely, but you know, the Vikings, somebody who did really well this year who will miss out because the NFC is so stacked. One of them's going to miss out.
Yeah, it's definitely a tough one to you know, pick how well the Rams are doing, because obviously they do have so many new pieces. There is obviously, will they all gel? Will they all pick up the system? Will they all be there through? Will they all make it all the way through the camps? Obviously, there's still a lot of question marks about one of their major signings, and Sue, who has probably the most character concerns out of everyone in the entire NFL. I'm not saying he'll get cut, but you know, how much of an impact does a personality like that have on the rest of a locker room, especially with people like when you see Sean McVay on All or Nothing? He's quite a sort of harmonious character. He doesn't look like someone that would lose his rag at people. So how does he control someone like Sue, who's quite, you know, difficult, as we're led to believe?
What's the odds of Sue being one of the first people to get this target and rule ejection on it?
Oh, absolutely, 100%. 100%. yeah. There's no point in even taking like bets on it, because it's happening.
The odds are just not worth it. 100 yeah, to 1 exactly. On. It's just like, they'll just write it now and say, there's no point. Don't worry. Don't bet.
Okay, so the only other thing, there's two things I wanted to add on the Odell stuff. One thing, so Dave Gettleman, who is the Giants GM, is notorious for being quite a disciplinarian. And quite, he didn't stand for a lot at the Panthers and got rid of a lot of people, a la Josh Norman,
that's the one that comes to mind particularly. He was not having that. He got franchise tagged, and for whatever reason, there was a bit of drama behind the scenes, and Gettleman was like, "Nah, we're taking your tag off you. Goodbye." He just cut.
Yeah, so,
didn't care.
Yep. So he is really, really notorious for hardball style negotiation. Odell Beckham is in a unique situation where he is the most elite wide receiver in this entire league. He could demand quarterback money, and I think there would be teams that would pay him if he was to hit free agency. So my question to you guys, would you rather Beckham has a career year for your team and leaves for nothing, or that he sits out and re-signs? So sits out the full year out of protest, and then they eventually work it out. What do you think would be a better case for the Giants?
Oh, that's a tough question.
That's what you get for stealing my segue.
Yeah, I deserve that. I think, given the way that the Giants team is set up, for them, it would be better for him to sit out and then spend the rest of his career there. Because, let's be honest, the Giants are not a team that are ready to win now.
Yep, I agree with that.
So, him sitting out doesn't have a huge effect. They're not going to win whether he's there or not. But going forward, if they can build a team around him, then there's no reason that they can't be back in the Super Bowl. So I think for the Giants, that if it comes down to that, then it would be better for them to for him to sit out and get the long-term deal agreed.
Steve, you got any different thoughts?
The only thing I'm going to throw in here, and it's almost a question to against your question, does the career year mean you win the Super Bowl? Because if that's the case,
no.
Gettleman is absolutely taking that, and Eli is riding off into the sunset with his ring.
Nah, I don't think that's a possibility, regardless of how well Odell Beckham plays. I think the Giants have got too many issues, and Eli can't throw it more than 15 yards without it, you know, spiraling out of control and wobbling and all the rest of it. So I don't think that's an actual possibility. So let's put it as Beckham plays well enough to get them to the playoffs.
It's a bit of a tricky one, isn't it? You kind of wonder if does Pat Shurmur think, okay, do you know what, I know I'm here for a few years anyway, do I take my first year, let's get into the playoffs and just scrape in, and it's something to build on, you know, a couple of decent drafts, a couple of free agencies, and yeah, you know, one player never makes a team. That's always been proven in the NFL. So I could maybe see that happening, possibly. Is he going to stay? What's he going to need? He's going to need at least 18 mil a year. That's kind of the numbers that are flying around. Because he's going to set the new bar for wide receivers. I don't think he's going to get 20 million a year. I think that number is purely reserved for quarterbacks at the moment. It's going to take a couple of years yet before anybody else any other position gets that. He's still going to set the market. Is it going to be the Giants though? I don't know. I can see him going.
Okay, and then just one final question to both of you, and I'll chuck in my 2 pence at the end as well. If Beckham was to leave the Giants, where would you want to see him go?
Cleveland.
On you go, Steve.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, so the two teams that I would like to see him go to is 49ers. I think that they are in pure rebuild mode. I do like the fact that Lynch seems to be quite sensible and savvy, and he's building it for longer term. And, you know, if they could take him, they've got the money to pay him. Gives Jimmy G a brilliant person to throw to, obviously. I quite like that move. The other one that I thought, and I did read this as well online, it wasn't like I just came right off the top of my head, take him down to Jacksonville where Tom Coughlin is.
Is that the piece they're missing?
You know, does that push them right through? Are they gonna win it all with him? You know, they've got everything else there. You know?
Yeah, that's a good shout. I like that. That'd definitely be the absolute catalyst, I think, to pushing the Jags all the way there. Andrew, you got any recommendations for where you would like to see?
Yeah, and it's from a totally biased standpoint as well. So I would love to see him in Arizona, and the reason for that is that there's no real standout receiver there at the moment. They've obviously got Fitzgerald coming to the end of his career. He's playing in the slot as he has been for a while, so there's no standout wide receiver. But if Sam Bradford can keep himself healthy, there's your first medical report, Gav. But if he can keep himself healthy, he is a brilliant passer of the ball. So him throwing to Odell Beckham should be a successful combination, and David Johnson in the backfield as well. Why wouldn't you love that offense?
Yeah, that sounds not too bad. If Sam Bradford makes it through OTAs and training camp and everything else, which he's not going to do.
It'd be fine until week one when, you know, that front seven of LA come and crush him into next week.
Yeah, exactly. When Ndamukong Suh gets disqualified in the first play for killing Sam Bradford.
What a way to go.
I've got two places that I'd like to see him go, if he was to go. First one is from a sort of a selfish standpoint, and that is Green Bay. Oh my God, imagine Aaron Rodgers thrown to Odell Beckham Jr.
Yeah, that's a thought.
That would be the best thing in the world. I'd love to see that, and I think that's just, you know, the throws that Rodgers could make and the catches that Beckham can catch would just be it's actually salivating to think about.
It would be better than him and Jordy Nelson for the last few years, wouldn't it?
Easy, absolutely. I think it would be better than Jordy Nelson in his prime. So that would be like from a, you know, and that would be an absolute dream to watch. One other place from a sentimental point of view is I would like to see him go to the Colts, because I believe that Andrew Luck deserves the opportunity to go win a Super Bowl. And I think the Colts are still in full rebuild mode, so they're a long way from it. But I think he's that good a player, Andrew Luck, and he's had been so unlucky with some big injuries. And I think if he didn't have those injuries, he would be pushing the Colts all the way. He is that good. So I think that would be two nice places where I'd like to see Beckham.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose going back to what you said there about Luck having not the pieces around him, he pretty much single-handedly dragged them into the playoffs the first three seasons before he did get injured. You know what, they went 11-5 3 years in the trot, hit the playoffs every year, and they were getting slightly further. You know, it was like, I think it was wild card first time, then they got divisional, and then they were maybe divisional again. I don't think they got to the championship game, but it was like they were so close, and then he got his injury and got kind of buckled, and then he was out for the whole last season. But you're totally right. He should be back fighting fit and healthy this season. Give him Odell Beckham, and boom, here you go. That AFC South all of a sudden becomes a bit of a nightmare for the other teams.
And he's
as
back
well.
Throwing the ball again as well, I'm sure I read, isn't he?
He has taken
that step.
So yeah, I think, and again, just from a practical point of view, the two teams with the most amount of cap space is the Cleveland Browns and the Colts. So they are two teams that could actually make it work. So yeah, that's my thoughts on Odell Beckham. Moving on from one quarterback that's been extremely unlucky because of injuries, going to another quarterback who is extremely unlucky because of his friendship with Drake, Johnny Manziel, who has recently been throwing balls for some of these wide receivers in the pro days, and is rumored to be trying out for a couple of NFL teams who were rumored to be scouting him, and this is all rumors and whatnot. So Johnny Football, the second greatest quarterback in the history of NFL behind Tyrod Taylor.
we spoke a little bit about Johnny Football on episode one, wasn't it? Where we touched on him going to be playing in the spring series. It's an interesting one. I think I've mentioned before, not a guy I know a huge amount about, because he was playing before I started following the league. But it's, everyone loves a comeback story, don't they?
Okay, let's put the question out there. Does Johnny Manziel get a roster spot?
As in the 53 on a...
Yep.
No. He misses out. I think he might get a training camp shot, depends on, I don't know, it's going to be a tricky one though, because he's going to need to sign with someone in the next couple of weeks, I feel, just to give him a shot, because OTAs are starting and the teams are all coming back within, by the time the 16th rolls around, everyone's back in the building. So, I don't know. Maybe it might have left it too late. If he does what everyone's saying that he should do is go and play in another league. So there's obviously a spring series coming up that Andrew's mentioned, or there's disappear up to the Canadian Football League and actually, you know, pay your dues up there for a year, then I totally think he gets a shot, even as a third stringer. If he's trying to come back into the NFL only, he might, and he has to sign on quick, he might get a camp job and he might get lucky and end up on a practice squad, but I don't think he hits a 53 of any of the teams.
Okay, so yeah, I kind of agree with a lot of what you just said there, Steve. So in the interest of fun, is there any team in particular that you would like to see Johnny Manziel either A, implode at, or B, be successful at? And when I mean successful, I mean just not do drink and drugs all the time with like famous people.
So, okay, let's see it. Let's pick a team that, I mean, obviously they've been touted because they were the first team that officials from were speaking to anyway. How about he goes up to Foxborough and he sits there as the third stringer behind Brady and whoever they will draft this year as their presumed heir apparent. He sits there, he knuckles down, he gets on with it. This first, second, third round pick, whoever they get, flames out and becomes a Paxton Lynch or a, you know, somebody worse than that. And all of a sudden, Johnny Football steps in, the bright lights, takes over from Tom Brady and absolutely balls out.
Yeah, I mean, that would be amazing. That would be amazing to see the Patriots go from Tom Brady to Johnny Football would be the best thing in the world. Donny, I hope you're imagining this.
Shout out to your shout out.
I was just going to say shout out to Donny Taylor's Bill Belichick pillow.
I'm sure he had a good cry into it last week.
Okay, Andrew, on you go.
How about he goes down to a team that give everyone away cheap? How about he goes to Miami and is part of some strange rebuild there? And I think he'll implode because that's what they're doing at the moment.
And that's a total party scene as well for him. He could very easily fall down the bad rabbit hole in Miami because there's way too much fun stuff going on out there.
Yeah. I don't think that's a good place for Johnny Football. I am going,
he needs to go somewhere like Green Bay where there's like nothing to do except play American football and you know, maybe learn from Rodgers and that's it. And he'll be fine for, you know, given that 1 year, he gets back in the NFL, but he doesn't have all the outside nonsense going on at the same time.
Yeah, but Miami's where he'd want to go.
or LA. I think he'd want to go LA. He'd want to go to the bright lights and cause some havoc, you know.
Okay, I am going to go for, and Steve, I think you'll like this. I am going to go for Texas A&M product Johnny Manziel. Takes a homecoming to the Dallas Cowboys, and he gets the time because he's a local. So they would buy him that time to get on track and to get his stuff together. He's similar to Dak Prescott in the sense of he's quite mobile. He has Ezekiel Elliott, who will take a whole bunch of pressure off him. And I was actually listening to one of the official NFL pods, and they were saying this stuff about how the Cowboys are actually not 100% on Dak Prescott. And I'm not saying that they would chop Dak Prescott to go for Johnny Manziel, but you know what? I just love Jerry Jones and or imagining Jerry Jones and Johnny Manziel together. I think that would be, you know, amazing.
That's what he was touted for being drafted,
yeah,
was it not?
I think.
I'm sure it was, yeah, I think. And obviously Cleveland took him with, what, 22nd pick, I think it was? But everyone thought that Jera would go mental and sign him and take him that year. But he never did. For once, he actually played with his head rather than, you know, it's a mental pick.
How disappointing. But yeah, that's the one place where I think, where I think Johnny Manziel could be given the time, and I think the fact that that organisation and maybe the fans aren't 100% on Dak Prescott, if there's those calls for him to go in and he comes in out of the sunset being the Texas local and save the day. Yeah, so that's...
Yeah. I do love it. You're right. You did say I probably would like it, and I absolutely do. I love that. That's a great show.
Okay, so in other returning quarterbacks from the Browns, we have RG3. Who has just picked up a 1-year flyer deal with the Baltimore Ravens. So RG3, who obviously he was on the Browns roster last year? No, was he?
No, he's been out for two. Is it 2 years?
I'm sure I read he was on the Browns roster. He's missed one full season. He was on the Browns roster the season before.
So the Baltimore,
and that's the limit of my RG3 knowledge. Oh, so right. You guys chat away.
And on that note, I'm out. Fuel Dragon's Den there. I'm out.
Okay, Steve. So me and you are lucky enough to have seen RG3 in his rookie season.
Was that game one against where they beat the Saints? Was that week one? Yeah, and I was like, holy moly, what is going on? And he was scrambling all over the place and chucking 40, 50-yard bombs. It was just like, you thought, oh my God, who is this kid? Where's he come from? This trade's worked out magnificently for them.
So,
and then it all kind of went wrong very quick.
So RG3, so as Steve mentioned there, came out of nowhere. He was out of the draft from Baylor, and he was someone where the Redskins invested quite a bit.
Two first rounders and change?
Yeah, I think that was it.
Was a third?
I think it was a third. Yeah, I think you're spot on there. So the Redskins obviously invested a lot in RG3, thinking he's a franchise quarterback. He had that amazing rookie season where everyone was like, oh my God, this trade is, you know what, it was a lot, but it is absolutely worth it. They've got their franchise quarterback. Fast forward 12 months, and it turns out RG3 is made out of chocolate just the same as Sam Bradford.
And he buckled his knee. Was that in the playoffs? Was that just his rookie season? Yeah, they played him more than he should have done. It was wild card weekend, I think it was, and he was proper buckled by, I want to say it was sometime in the first quarter, and he shouldn't have played on, but because it was a playoff, so they thought, yeah, come on, send him out anyway, and he just absolutely ruined himself. It was just almost no coming back for it, because he'd shredded his ACL, and I think he did some damage to his MCL as well by continuing to play for the rest of that game. And then it was just a nightmare of a rehab for him. He came back in time to start the season, I think, but he wasn't, or it was a couple of weeks in, and he just wasn't the same. He just couldn't get back, couldn't find his rhythm, and he never got back to where he was.
I think, I think just to talk a little bit about his potential, so after that one season, people were like, you know what, pre-injury was, you know, have the Redskins picked up the next Russell Wilson, because his play style was really similar, his scrambling ability was great, and he had a good arm, and apparently he was a really good leader as well, like for someone, he doesn't look that sort of type, but apparently he was.
And at that time, Cap had just done his wondrous stuff in the playoffs as well, and everyone thought this new, you know, running
dual threat,
major dual threat quarterback was going to be the way of the future, and the Redskins had one. There was only a couple of them in the league.
Yeah.
But just hurt himself too much, basically.
Yep. I think one of the differences you see now in the NFL with the mobile quarterbacks is that, previously, you know, going back, RG3, Kaepernick, even Russell Wilson at the start of his career would fall forward the way that a running back would. Now where you see these mobile quarterbacks sliding a lot more, apart from Cam Newton, who's a maniac.
But he's built like a linebacker, so he can, you know, actually borderline defensive end, the size of him, so he can take the pound.
I know, it's just crazy. Back to the actual point. So he's out for the Baltimore Ravens on a 1-year deal. Do we like it? Do we not like it?
I like the fact he's getting another shot. You know, he's not going to be the starter. It's clearly going to be Flacco, so that's not, you know, it's not like you can, it's not going to be a controversy there or anything. You don't have to worry about that. So it's good for him as a backup. He gets another shot. I don't mind it. It's not horrific.
I think in terms of value, and you're right, he will be an absolute backup at the absolute best. But when you look around the other leagues, you've got people like Mike Glennon, Matt Barkley, Matt Castle, all these horrible old people that are just rubbish. Matt Moore. Why are they all called Matt?
quarterback of the future. Is there any Matts coming out of college this year? Because you can just tell them from now, like, you're destined to be a backup son.
I mean, I think in terms of backup quarterbacks, I know he still obviously have injury concerns, but I think he's probably one of the better ones. And one, you know what, if Flacco was to go down with an injury, I think he's, yeah. It's,
yeah, he can come in and he can do a job. Yeah, I don't think it would be horrific. Because he still arguably was actually all right at passing the ball. He wasn't your prototypical pocket passer. He was definitely, he seemed to be slightly better, on the run.
Like a poor man's Russell Wilson.
Yeah, let's go with that. Yeah, so, I mean, and he's had lots of time to hone his skill and stuff. So whether he can be that pocket passer per se now, not so sure, but he's certainly no slouch as a backup. I'll give you that. Yep.
Yeah, no, I think it's a good move for the Ravens. 1 year deal. No risk really. Okay, so we have talked some real football. Now we're gonna talk some fantasy football. So just to give you a brief introduction to my fantasy career. I am the 2-time.
We don't want to hear it.
The 2-time reigning, defending fantasy champion in our Game of Bowls league. I am the most hated person in that league, which I'm completely okay with. I think I give out the most amount of trash talk in that league, so I probably do bring it on myself. But yeah, just to clarify again, guys, if you need any advice, and this is to the people in our league, not to the listeners. Guys, if you need any advice on how to be a winner, just hit me up in the WhatsApp and I'll sort you out. I kept that quiet for long enough, but I feel like now I've unleashed the beast. And fantasy is it?
We've just lost 8 listeners.
That's okay. That's okay. I can live with that.
They're never listening again.
Is that done in 3 episodes? Well, it was a great ride while it lasted.
Well, is that the 8 listeners that are in our WhatsApp group in our fantasy league?
Yes, that was what I was referring to.
Okay. So, in all seriousness, I'm the 2-time champion of the fantasy. Okay. So, Andrew. So you've got a little segment where you talk to us about how you learn about American football and how our listeners can learn at the same sort of pace and as yourself. So would you like to take us up to speed in Andrew's Rookie Corner on...
We should get a jingle for that, shouldn't we?
We absolutely should. We absolutely should. Talk to us about fantasy football, Andrew.
Yeah, so this is going to be a very quick overview of what fantasy football is. So I'm sure most listeners as sports fans will be used to fantasy leagues of some description in football or in Formula One have them. Most sports have fantasy leagues of some description. American football is no different, and because it's such a stat-heavy game, it's ideal for it. The basics of a fantasy league in a normal league, they are quite customizable, but in a normal league, you select 7 offensive players plus a kicker and a defense. In the standard setup, your 7 offensive players will be a quarterback, 2 running backs, 2 wide receivers, a tight end, and then another either wide receiver or running back. You also get different variations where you can have 2 quarterback leagues or any sort of different variation there. In order to, unlike sort of football or other sports leagues where you can have hundreds of players in a league, what tends to happen is that you start the season with either a draft or an auction, and every team... that one player cannot be on more than one team. So the draft is going through the entire league and splitting out the players. Points are awarded for points being scored or yards gained, and for defensive things like interceptions and defensive touchdowns as well, all gain points. And the biggest variation of the standard points is the points per reception, or PPR, where points are also awarded for every time, say, a receiver receives the ball or a running back has a carry. And that is my very quick overview of fantasy football.
Yeah, so I think that's pretty much everything you need to know in terms of how a league works. And you know what, I actually think it's a whole lot of fun. So if you've not, if you're not in a league, it's a really good way to learn, because you actually watch your players and you watch their performance, so you become a bit more invested in it. And yeah, and obviously you can...
I definitely back that point up. So I've been watching the game for 2 years. I didn't learn a huge amount in the first year. And then last year, Steve had a fantasy league, which I get invited to into the second year. And it meant I was following specific players so much more. And you learn so much about those players. And because you're also in a matchup against another team every week, you're looking how other players, and so over the course of the season, you'll be looking at across the league as to what players are doing well. So it's just a fantastic way to help you in learning the game, or at least getting an awareness of who the big players are.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. Could not back that up anymore. So yeah, I think I'm just going to give a few sort of hints and tips from my perspective, guys. If you want to jump in at any point, please feel free to do so. So one of my biggest bits of advice when it comes to playing fantasy football is try and not get too persuaded by all the things that you will read on, you know, the NFL website, in terms of, you know, because the guys that do the podcasts on it, they're, you know, totally against drafting a quarterback until the very late rounds because of value, etc., which is a totally fine strategy. But I just think you should do what you think's right, because then, you know, you don't have anyone else to blame if things didn't go your way. Same way, you know, that it would be with almost anything, I suppose. If you do what you think's right, then the only person that's accountable for it is yourself. The second bit of advice I'm going to give is to be as active as you possibly can. So I think in our league, I don't think there was one single week where I didn't either make a trade, pick someone up off the waiver wire. So yeah, and I mean, that's something I think is really important, and that's when you know, the waiver wire is probably something where you have to keep your eye on, and players that have, you know, come out of nowhere and start performing, so you want to snap those guys up as soon as possible. Guys, have you got anything to add to some sort of advice around fantasy football?
No, I agree with that completely. Steve, where did you finish last year?
Not very good. I think I was about fifth. I think I won the loser bracket.
All right.
Yeah, no, I haven't done that great the last couple of years. But actually, probably for the same reason as what Gav is saying, why he's done really well. Years prior to that, I was definitely way more active in terms of picking up people, the waiver wire, or trying to get some trades and trying to, you know, improve your overall roster. And that absolutely is the difference. You can have a bad draft and you can still do great by the end of the season. It's nothing to do with how you get your players on day one. I think, if I might be wrong, and I don't want to blow my own trumpet, a lot of people thought I won the draft last year. Paper, I thought I had a really shit hot team, and I was laughing. And by week three, I was sitting there 1-2. I was on a losing streak. The only player that actually did really solid numbers for me all season was Todd Gurley, who was the sixth running back off our board.
Yeah, I think
fifth or sixth. He wasn't right at the top. Everyone, of course, was like egging Donnie on. Are you taking David Johnson? Are you? And he's like, nah, I'm not gonna. And of course he took him, and then he got busted for the whole season pretty quickly. So that was a bit of a heartbreaker for him. But so Gurley was, because he had his so-so year under Fisher, under year two, he fell a bit. I snapped him up in the second or third round, actually.
Yeah, I think you're right. I
can't remember which order I got them, and he absolutely turned out to be the best pick that I had by miles. Same in previous years. I mean, I remember Devonta Freeman's rookie year. I picked him up on the waiver wire after about week four, and he then went back-to-back games where he scored 3 touchdowns and like 150 yards, and I was just, you know, I was getting 30 points out of him, easy peasy, and it was just absolutely steamrolling people.
Yep.
Yeah, it's so the same sort of thing. My best player last year was, I picked him up after, I think, week 4 or 5 on a low-value trade, was Alvin Kamara, who then in the second half of the season just went mental, and will be, I would imagine, will be a first-round pick in most draft leagues next year.
Yeah, I'm trying to think back to my draft, and mine's was a bit crazy. So I obviously, being the winner, I had the 10th overall pick and the 11th pick, and I remember picking Aaron Rodgers with my number 10 pick, so a first round pick on Aaron Rodgers, which
listen to all of American listeners just going like, no, what are you doing, you crazy man?
And you know what, it is definitely unconventional, taking your QB in the first round, but my argument to that is Aaron Rodgers the year before had the most points in fantasy football overall. Whether the value was right, yeah, you can argue that, but I would rather take the guy that I know is going to pick up the most amount of points, because that's how I win the league. Fortunately for me, Aaron Rodgers got absolutely destroyed in like the 4th week by someone from the Vikings again. It wasn't Xavier Rhodes, it was... Oh, what's his name again?
Harrison Smith.
No, what's the other big... Oh my God, what's his name? Big defense...
Everson Griffin.
Well, you know what, it doesn't matter. I can't remember who it was. But anyway, Aaron Rodgers got smashed. So then I remember that my second and third pick were Christian McCaffrey and Isaiah Crowell. Traded both of
those. How bad does that sound now?
Yeah, I know.
Crowell did okay in fantasy. He finished the season on my roster, and I'm sure it was playing in most weeks because he did all right. I think
so. Yeah.
Towards the end,
he was just unlucky enough to be at the Browns. Let's be honest.
So I had so in hindsight, so how I managed to win that league is obviously insane, because those guys so Rodgers going down early, Crowell, I think I ended up just cutting him. Christian McCaffrey, he was the one. So this is what I think probably won me the league. So Le'Veon Bell started the season really slow, really slow. And I read an article on NFL.com saying, you know what, swing big for Le'Veon Bell. Offer some big trades for Lev Bell. And a guy, Stevie, in our league, I know that he was a Panthers fan. So Stephon Diggs came off a 3-touchdown game. I think it was against the Saints, or a 2-touchdown game against the Saints. Had something like 24 points or whatever in one game. So I packaged the deal of Stephon Diggs and Christian McCaffrey for Lev Bell, and it got accepted. And I remember at that time in the group chat, everyone was like, what? Why are you accepting that? Because obviously, if anyone else done it, they would have been like, oh, that's maybe a bit poor value. But because it's me and everyone in the WhatsApp bloody hates me, everyone's going off their nuts. I remember Kev was like, oh, can we veto this trade? I was like, what? What's that all about?
That's where Commissioner Housewrath came. Yeah, is it not all to do with that? We just were like, come on, Steve, you're the league manager. Get it all sorted. Get it culled. Cancel that
trade. I couldn't believe it. I was like, if that was anyone else, nobody would be saying half that sort of stuff.
And Stevie was still sitting pretty because he had Ezekiel Elliott well, who at the time was playing because the suspension obviously wasn't happening. And he's sitting there with Lev Bell and Elliott. And at that point, by week 3, I'm thinking, my God, he's going to steamroller the league with them too.
Yeah, and he, you know what? He probably would have had he kept them. I can't even really remember half of my fantasy team. I remember having Carlos Hyde when he went on that really good run. I ended up getting Diggs back. You know, I think I managed to just get through it by week, just having enough points, you know, which is an obvious...
You playing the matchups rather than having a consistent squad that get you continual points. It was the tweaking and the favourable matchups that you were kind of playing through the season that got you there.
Yeah, because I remember at one point it looked like I wasn't going to make the playoffs, and I was absolutely devastated because I think I was sitting at something like... I want to say 5-7 or something like that. And I had to win out to get to the playoffs, which I did. And then I remember in the final, the last game against, I think it was Stevie actually played in the final, or was it Donny? I can't remember, one of the two of them.
Oh, it might have been Donny then, yeah. I thought it was you, Andrew, for a second there.
No,
you
had, I lost in the...
the week before, the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah. Ah, okay. I did, because...
Because you had Ingram and Kamara, and at that point Ingram they Kamara, were so kicking arse.
The back end of the season, my team were flying and were quite comfortably the highest scoring team in our league because I had Ingram, Kamara, I had Antonio Brown, I had Alex Smith
at
quarterback.
That's insane.
And Adam Thielen at the Vikings as well, who was.
God, so you did, yeah.
And Jimmy Graham, who was scoring touchdowns every week as well. So my offense was flying towards the back end of the season, and then we got to playoff semi final week. And Antonio Brown gets injured in the first quarter. And that was my game done. If Antonio Brown had stayed and got a solid 10-point game, I would have beaten Gav in the semifinals and we wouldn't be having him gloating right now.
Shoulda, woulda, coulda, bro. Shoulda, woulda, coulda.
He'd be sitting there going, fantasy segment, and be like, nah, dude, we're not doing fantasy talk on this. The top of the season.
The only thing I think I remember about our game, Andrew, if I remember rightly, I'm sure that was the game where the Chiefs went off on one, and I knew you had Smith, but I'm sure Tyreek Hill had something ridiculous, like two big touchdowns, and I think Kelsey had a good number of yards. So that sort of negated your quarterback scoring, because obviously the points that Smith was getting, because you get... Is it like a third of the yards you get for the quarterback? I can't remember.
I think so, yeah.
It's every 4 yards is a point.
Yes.
Was it 25 yards is a point, sorry. No,
yes. So my guys, obviously, your quarterback's getting the touchdown points, but my guys are obviously doubling up on the actual yardage that obviously and the touchdowns.
So I'm actually, I've brought it up and I've brought that very matchup up on my phone. So.
Oh, wow, okay. Tell me my team. Tell me my team because I can't actually remember who I had.
Right, you had Dak Prescott, Bell and Drake at running backs. You had Diggs and Hill, Kelsey.
Gav, how did you win this?
Mike Davis.
Oh my God.
Who are these
your
nobodies?
Your kicker was Will Lutz, and you had the Lions defense.
How the hell did I win that game?
I had Alex Smith. I had Mark Ingram, who scored 27 points. Alvin Kamara, Antonio Brown, who only scored 2.4. And Thielen had a poor game, and Jimmy Graham had a poor game. And then I had Crowell, Gostkowski, and the Vikings. So I had a few teams that had, I had a few guys that had very good games, and then I had three guys that were poor.
So on paper, like half my guys wouldn't even probably got onto your bench.
Yeah.
Mike Davis, I think he was from the Seahawks, and Kenyon Drake was the Dolphins after they traded Jay Ajayi.
Yep.
Jesus.
Oh no, he had quite a good back end of the season though, actually. So yeah, that's not
so that game. Kenyon Drake scored 17 points.
Yeah. So that's obviously an example, guys, that we're talking about on being active on the waiver wire. People like Kenyon Drake and being aware of the situations and the things.
You snapped him up as soon as Jay Ajayi got
traded.
Yeah, I did.
So yeah, Andrew, I don't know if you're able to get it on your phone, but can you tell me just quickly what the score was in the final and who was against, whether it was Donnie or Stevie. I don't know if you're able to get that.
I played Donnie in the losers match.
Oh, it must have been Stevie then.
So yes.
Oh no, it was. I remember Kev in the WhatsApp chat going, getting everyone to vote for Stevie to win.
Yeah.
It was a big hoo-ha about it, yeah.
It was, and it was it was an 84.3 to 86.84. It was a terrible final.
Who won it for me?
No players. Who won it for you?
He was
your highest scorer was Le'Veon Bell with 15.7.
Wow! Because in fact, did he not have?
And he
did
had
not have someone from the Eagles who scored like no points, like Alshon Jeffrey or something like that.
Yes, he had Alshon Jeffrey, who scored no points, but he had Dion Lewis, who scored 27.3.
I think, so yeah, I'd like to just, you know, this little recap of our Fantasy League. I think the two things for me is be active on the waiver wire, be aware of the things that are going on, and also not overvalue names. Like, don't get too caught up on, you know, what I drafted so-and-so and what round, so I'm not giving him up for someone else who's performing better, because the performance is all relative. So if you have someone who's outscoring someone who's a big name, then take that into consideration. And, you know, think about the matchups as well. If you have someone like, I don't know, just for talking sakes, Odell Beckham, but then he's playing, you know, the Legion of Boom and someone else and someone else. If he's got a tough matchup, is he the guy that you should be starting? Probably are, but just, you know, be a little bit aware of that, of the matchups that you have as well. Okay, so that was a nice little recap and the fantasy free-for-all there. So I'm going to start this little bit off with this year. Who do you think will be the first overall pick in fantasy?
Todd Gurley.
Anything different, Andrew?
Yeah, I think, despite the fact that he was out for a year, I think David Johnson still goes first off the board.
Oh. That is...
I did wonder if you were thinking that.
That's bold. Yeah.
It is bold. I think he'll still go in the first three or four. I think people, a lot of people will take a... I'd take a flyer on him if I've got the fourth
round.
It's
not really a flyer. It was a broken wrist.
Well, I mean, yeah, you know, yeah, sorry, okay. I may be overselling it there, but...
it's not like he tore his ACL. He broke his wrist.
There's a doctor again.
True.
Yeah, but it's obviously a serious injury at the point, but when it heals, it's done. Yeah. And I have no doubt that he'll be targeting 1,000 and 1,000 this year, and he'll get damn close to getting that 1,000 and 1,000.
I disagree, based on the fact that Sam Bradford's made of chocolate. That'll be a running theme throughout this podcast.
Who's made of chocolate this week?
Yeah.
It'll be Sam Bradford every
week. This
week
in the chocolate box.
Exactly. In my little selection box, I've got Sam Bradford. Yeah, okay. My first round pick goes to Lev Bell. He can do everything. And you've seen the difference that he had to the Steelers. And I think that, yeah, he's just too good. So what about, so Steve, we think you're picking fifth, roughly, between fifth and sixth. So you're maybe looking at, who do you think you'd be looking to pick up?
Ooh, who's got, maybe Zeke Elliott might still be sitting there for me at that pick. Try to think of order people will go. So Johnson will go ahead, Gurley will go ahead, Lev Bell will go ahead. So I can't get
Fournette.
Those three. Oh, he might. Yeah, somebody might take him. If so,
I'll
either get maybe Fournette or Xavier Elliott. No, I wouldn't. I do you know what? Yeah, I've done it before. I've taken a Whitey in year one, and it didn't work out that great. And I've never done it since. I always go running back in round one because I don't think there's enough depth of them as there is wide receiver. So I tend to always go running back, wide receiver, running back, wide receiver. That's how I do the first four rounds. The only time I would switch that, which is pretty sure what I did last year, but I might be wrong, was because Gurley was sitting there in the third round. I switched it around, or the other way around maybe. But anyway, you know, if somebody's sitting there that I'm not expecting, I'll change that order around based on the pick. But I'm pretty set in trying to do that and trying to get a good balance on running backs and wide receivers. So I went, I went wide receiver in that year. God almighty, thinking about this now, I'm horrified with myself.
I took wide receivers in the first four rounds last year. How did I get anywhere?
What was that?
Holy moly, wide receivers in the first four rounds.
I knew nothing about it last year. It That's was at that right point right. that Hammy said, Andrew, you do know you can only play two at a time. Yeah. I was like, oh, okay.
Well, Well, technically, you can play three in your flex position. So.
Yeah. But you still don't take four in the first four rounds.
Definitely not.
So I went a couple of years ago, three or four years ago, I went wide receiver, then I went running back. But my running backs that time were CJ Anderson, the Broncos, was the highest available person that was left. And he had a stinker of a season. I was just like, oh, this is rubbish. Yeah. So I vowed never to do that again. So yeah, either Fournette or Ezekiel Elliott, depending on what order they come off between four and five, I should end up one of them, which is, I'm happy enough with that.
Yeah, I think, in fact, I've just remembered who my number one pick over last year was, Mike Evans, who had a horrible year. So it was Aaron Rodgers and Mike Evans, not Isaiah Crowell. So it's slightly better, but he still had a horrible year. I think, so I'll be picking in the snake position, which is 10 and 11. So the last of the first and the first of the second. I think at 10th, I'll be looking at people like maybe Alvin Kamara, maybe, depending on whether people like Antonio Brown and Hopkins go higher.
I think I'll be taking Kamara at 7 if he's there.
Okay, so if he's there at 7, then thanks for stealing my thunder again. But okay,
Dalvin Cook.
Nah.
Well, okay, Andrew, if you're in 10th, I've got to pick three higher than you.
You do yours then, Andrew.
Yeah, I think if at pick 7, Alvin Kamara's there. He's a dual threat, and I've just seen over the camera Steve have a look of disgust that he's forgotten someone.
Because I've just, no, Kareem Hunt, we've not mentioned him. He's going to be up and about there as well. Oh,
it's going to be a fun draft year, and also.
I'm going to have a nice good choice where I'm sitting, actually. Yeah,
I think the first round, there's usually what's maybe five or six proper big impact players, but yeah, this year they're. You're probably right down to 10. You're going to get huge impact players. But yeah, Alvin Kamara at 7 is probably...
Okay, so if you've got Kamara, then obviously anything can happen on the in the actual draft. I remember a couple of years ago, Steve, we had someone in our league pick Andrew Luck first overall.
It was just like, what is going on?
So you know what? Anything can happen.
Or you get people that don't attend the live draft and they've not pre-selected their lists, so the computer auto picks. It's absolutely hilarious. They're getting quarterback in round one and a wide receiver in round two, and their defense in round six, and it's like, oh man, this is
awful.
There's
absolutely nothing wrong with picking quarterback in round one. Let's just get that out there. says the two-time winner.
Yeah, 'tis not the done thing.
Okay, so yes, I get you. Yeah, just back to, so in the snake position, if Andrew's taking Kamara at 7, I'm probably looking at people like DeAndre Hopkins, then maybe Odell, depending on how he goes. Then you've obviously, 10 and 11 this year is actually probably pretty good, because you've got Julio Jones, you've got Melvin Gordon, so. Compared to last year, where I think there's quite a big drop-off in terms of that elite talent. So I think I'm probably looking at Tyrod Taylor and... no, in all seriousness, I'm probably looking at DeAndre Hopkins and someone like Melvin Gordon. The only other thing I would say is, you know what, if you don't get the first round pick, that's not what wins you your league. It's the people that you pick up in your 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th round. Those are the ones that win for you. Not, picking someone in the first round, because they're all going to be really good players, regardless of where you're picking them. That's my sort of thinking. Just to finish, before we finish up, is there any player, based on the free agency moves that we have seen, who you really like in terms of, from a fantasy perspective?
We kind of mentioned it earlier, and it was something I was thinking about, but we kind of already talked about it. I think Sammy Watkins might do okay at the Chiefs. I think as a compliment to Tyreek Hill. I know that Mahomes is a bit untested, but maybe that's the beauty of it, that we don't know how good he is. If you think about what Deshaun Watson did last year, for example, no one was expecting him to do anything. He came in and absolutely lit the league up for 4 weeks before he got his knee buckled. Yeah. So, maybe he'll do all right. Maybe he'll actually earn some of his salary for a change.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. The only thing I don't like about Sammy Watkins is, I think, so Sammy Watkins is good going deep, whereas I think the Chiefs already have Tyreek Hill for that, and I think Tyreek Hill, I think Tyreek Hill's better than Sammy Watkins. I think he's way more explosive. I'm not 100% sure on whether I agree with Sammy Watkins. And also, Patrick Mahomes is an unknown quantity. He could easily come out and do a Carson Wentz and be an absolute, you know, a machine. Or he could also come out and flame out very quickly. Andrew, is there anyone that you like?
I'm going to go left field and not pick a player, but pick a defense. And think that the Rams will be nice and high scoring. Because
when
you've
do they
got,
play Arizona?
So it's not only the fact that they're going to get to the quarterback and destroy them, it's that they're going to be tipping those balls for a strong backfield to pick off as well. So I think that they'll get a few interceptions and they'll be probably consistently a high-scoring defense and probably the one to have in fantasy next year.
Yeah, I think no questions asked. They're the first defense coming off the board, whoever picks them up.
See, I like, obviously, the thought of this, but this is just my personal feeling. I'd rather pick a defense in the absolute last round or the second last round, because I think, again, you just play the matchups with the defense.
Stream them.
I don't think there's too much value. The Rams will probably be the highest scoring or second highest scoring based on the Jags. It'll definitely be one of those two. I just don't think there's enough value there overall. Kickers and defense I tend to just stream. One player that I particularly like is Michael Crabtree at the Ravens. The reason I like Crabtree is because Joe Flacco has had absolutely nobody to throw to for the last like however many years.
Since Steve Smith
effectively,
retired.
You know, last year Jeremy Macklin was brought in, and I think even in hindsight, you know, looking back, that was a kind of weird move. He didn't have that good a time in Philadelphia or Kansas before he went there. I like Michael Crabtree. I think he's a good end zone threat. I think he's a really good contested catch receiver. He's not about explosive pace or anything like that. He's more about, you know, the sort of physical battle. I like that, and I think he'll be an end zone target for Flacco to aim for, because he doesn't really have that many pieces to pick from. So I think Crabtree's a nice pick where you could probably pick him later up in the rounds.
What about Robinson up at the Bears? Yeah, do you think he's going to do
yeah,
all right?
I think I've mentioned it before on both podcasts. I absolutely love Allen Robinson at the Bears. I think Mitchell Trubisky started to show a lot more as the season went on, when they actually started to give him a bit more of the playbook, and rather than just constantly run the ball all the time, which is, there's nothing wrong with that when you've got Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen, but I really like Allen Robinson there. They've got a good offensive line, second year quarterback, they've got Matt Nagy, who obviously helped design all the crazy plays that the Chiefs were doing, I really, really, really do like Allen Robinson, and if he's available for me in the third or fourth round, I'll absolutely be taking him. I'm going to go for one final thing, and it's not about anyone that's been in free agency, but would you rather have fantasy this year, would you rather have Tom Brady or Jimmy Garoppolo?
Jimmy Garoppolo, without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah, I kind of, that was, as soon as you said the, I stopped at Brady because it was like, okay, yeah, I'll see you, we'll wait and see who we're going with. As soon as you said Jimmy G, though, I was like, nah, I'm taking him.
Okay, so let's put this out there. We would rather take Jimmy Garoppolo over the greatest, or arguably the greatest quarterback of all time, with the greatest coach.
Because he's going to hit that, he's going to hit that wall at some point, and they've lost that many pieces. I don't know. I don't think he's going to do a Peyton Manning and have, you know, an absolute dive bomb, or even Brett Favre, God, his last season, he should have never come back. He was horrific. Some people just fall off that cliff really quickly. I don't think Brady will do that. I think he'll have a slow descend from greatness, but I think it probably starts this year. He's 41 before the season actually officially starts, I think, and I think it's August.
I don't think that he will deteriorate that much, to be perfectly honest.
I think we'll be here in 15 years' time saying that Jimmy G's been the best quarterback of the past 15 years, based on the way he started.
That's a bold prediction.
Yeah, we'll throw it out there. So,
yeah, why not?
I think that starts this year and he takes the 49ers to the playoffs. So, yeah.
Well, I think, I think he absolutely could take the 49ers to the playoffs. So the absolute final thing before we finish up is, so our next episode, this will be covering the NFL draft, and we will be looking to do the first ever American Football Cast mock draft. I think we've still to 100% decide on the format of how we're doing it, but we will be looking to speak to some of you guys on the Twitter, which is at the AFC Cast. Is that right? Am I ever going to get this Twitter handle right?
No. Wrong again. That's 3 out of 3. You've got it wrong.
Hashtag invested.
Who needs? Who cares anyway, mate?
We are at the AF Cast on Twitter.
Close. AFC. It's because the AFC.
Just an extra
AFC,
C.
You know what? You guys asked too much of me.
We couldn't get it. We tried. We couldn't get it.
So we'll be having our first ever mock draft, which I think we're all quite excited to see how that goes, and we look forward to sharing that with you. And we would like to thank the guys at the Fair City Network. Is that right? Have I got that part right?
Fair City Podcast Network, yes. Oof, well done, Gav.
There we go. Like so I'd like to thank those dudes for helping us out with everything we do on this podcast. I'd like to thank myself for being amazing. I'd like to thank myself for successfully navigating this podcast without any major profanity or anything too controversial. So I think I really do deserve a well done for that.
You bigged up Tyrod Taylor. That's hugely controversial.
Oh, don't say stuff like that.
Oh, he didn't come around and say anything like my greatest player of the last 5 years was Ray Rice, though, so don't worry about it.
I will... Thank you so much for listening. Guys, anything you want to sign off with?
I got a fast fact that I read on Twitter today, actually. If the Saints beat the Ravens this year, Drew Brees will have beaten every other NFL team.
Wow.
Ooh, I like that one. Anyway, sorry, Andrew, I interrupted you there.
No, that's a great wee fact to finish. No, I was just going to thank the Army of Freshmen for our intro and outro music as well. So that'll finish our thank yous. Thank you everyone for listening.
You just said
really
that would finish
it.
Our thank you, and then you said another thank you.
I've not thanked Steve's anyone
not
yet.
Thank. Can you stop trying to segue our thank yous, Andrew?
I'd like to thank Jesus first and foremost. It's normally how these
now
things go, isn't it?
You're starting to sound like an NFL player.
Okay, so I definitely think that this has been one of the most awkward endings we've ever done. So I've successfully managed to ruin.
We've only got three.
Ruin today's pod. Thank you so much to everyone for listening, and we will see you again soon.